Okay, I'm thinking you can hear me now. Can someone confirm? Perfect. Thank you for your patience. It was user error. I was hitting pound one and not star one. So the problem was me, and I greatly, greatly apologize. And I thank my team who has been helping me to get this rectified here. I am off site. So anyway, thank you so much. I am so excited to be with you today about this topic. It's a topic that I am incredibly passionate about, and I'm hoping that maybe some of you can just kind of take it in and soak it in if that works for you. Some of you might have you know, a pen and paper, might want to take some notes, which I encourage. Some of you may be very versed in social media. And if so, if you'd like to tweet about some of the things that you're learning, I encourage you to do that. And of course, if you include the hashtag EWNCONF, EWNCONF, then your tweets will go literally on the homepage of eWomen Network with your photo and all of that. And feel free to follow me at the end. It's Sandra, at Sandra Yancey, EWN. That is my handle, and I will follow you back, okay? I want us to just take a second or two. I mean, I'm really going to, like, shut up here for a second or two and just really allow you to get fully centered. We had a little bit of technical difficulty, and I want us to get really centered on where you are right now, your reasons for calling into this call, you know, some of the expectations, needs that you would like to see me satisfy and serve you today. Okay, just take a deep breath. Let's get all centered in our time together, because I want to be totally focused on serving you the best that I can. Okay. There is a question box. It is not just for questions, just so that you know. Okay. It is for you. You know, to be able to give comments to me if I'm serving you, if something's resonating with you. I mean, I don't get to make these kinds of calls that very often. You know what I'm saying? So I just want you to know I'm here to serve you. This is a very powerful time for you and I to be together. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about networking secrets of the super successful. I really believe with all of my heart there's a lot of people that are out kind of, you know, doing the best that they can, you know, and they're not getting the results. And what I want us to stop doing is what I saw myself doing many, many years ago when I was first starting eWomen Network. Okay, I was like the fly on the windowsill. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know how flies kind of come into your home, and after they take the grand tour and say, I need to get out of this place. I need the fresh outside. And they look for what they perceive as being their destination, their ideal path to get to where they want to go. And they sometimes don't realize that it's not really an open window, but it's a glassed window. And they find themselves crashing into the window. And what they do, if you've ever watched them, it's a pretty powerful experience, because, I mean, I think it speaks to a lot of what you and I do in a lot of areas in our life, and that is that we're constantly trying harder and, you know, holding on to this notion of, I'm not a person that gives up. I'm not a person that, you know, is going to, you know, knock down and stay down. I'm going to get up. I'm going to try and try and try again. And as noble as that is, and in its moments it can be very effective, I also think that what happens is there's times when it can be, like every other thing, really ineffective or ineffective. I believe that there are times which it doesn't serve us well. And eventually we end up kind of, you know, collapsing in either exhaustion or knocking ourselves out, or, you know, in worst case scenario, like the fly does, if you come back the next day on its back, totally dead, you know, totally like, I give up, I surrender. And I think what's really important in life is to say sometimes, is this really an instance when I should really, you know, keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over again and hold on to my virtues of perseverance and stick-with-itness and never give up and tenacity? Or might I take a pause for a moment, take a deep breath, step back, reassess the situation, turn to my left, turn to my right, and see if there's a better way? And what I know is that people spend a tremendous amount of time and money, and those are the two most precious things we have in our life, time and money, right? And so we give it away, and we often don't get the return that we expect. My goal today is to help you improve your networking skills, because I have learned them. I was a rotten networker. Some of you know my story. I started eWomen Network because I'm not comfortable in groups of people. It's not because I was this super successful, savvy networker. It was a need of my own. And I thought to myself, wow, if you're a natural extrovert and you're naturally comfortable in groups of people and you're a social butterfly, I mean, chances are you've got a leg up, I mean, to do pretty well, right, with some fundamental skills and training. But if you're like me and you're naturally not necessarily comfortable in a group of people and you tend to be a little on the introverted side like I am, you know, groups of people can be quite intimidating. And I have, through the last 11 years, really learned the skills. And this is the good news, okay? If you're not feeling like networking is either comfortable for you or serving you well, here's the good news. It's simply a set of skills, meaning it's teachable and it's learnable. So everybody can learn great networking skills, like I've had the blessings of learning, all right? And I've learned it in such a way that I've been able to take, you know, a business that was on the brink of bankruptcy and turned it into a profitable multi-million dollar business, you know, a global business. And we've got people on the line right now. We've got Eva that's on the line, and she's, you know, on the line from Finland. I mean, we've got people from Canada. We've got people from the U.S. We've got a woman that had connected with me and calling in from Nigeria. I mean, there's a lot of you that are posting where you're from right now, which is great. But these are universal skills, what I'm sharing with you. What I feel like I must admit to you, just so that you know, because I know we have some wonderful gentlemen on the call, is that what I'm sharing with you today are five things. Just five things that I know that you can do that I believe work for men, but I know that they work for women. You know, I know. And so if you're not a woman and you're on the phone, but your customers are women, or the people that you want to connect with and get to know are women, then what I'm sharing with you today is going to serve you really well. So I have a fundamental core belief. Life is actually not about finding yourself. I've met a lot of people that are, you know, in their 50s and they're still on the journey to find themselves. I believe that life is really more about creating yourself. At some point, you've got to put a stake in the sand, and you've got to try things, and you've got to quit contemplating it and waiting for everything to be perfect. It is in the trying, I think, that you develop excellence. I'm not about the pursuit of perfection. I happen to think it's a waste of time. Okay, what I am in the pursuit of is excellence. And what I've learned is that networking is a skill not too terribly unlike, to be real honest with you, a skill such as bike riding. I mean, you've got to do it over and over and over again in order to stay really not only good at it, but comfortable with it, to the point that it really does become on autopilot. All right? I mean, I recently got a bike. My husband got me a bike for Christmas. And what I can tell you is that, you know, I learned how to ride a bike when I was a little kid, and I've ridden them off and on as I've taught my kids how to ride bike, but it's been several years. And what struck me was a big aha moment was how, while I knew what to do intellectually, all right, putting it in action are two different things. So my greatest message for you is I want you to take the five things. I'm hoping you're on this call because you're trusting that I have some knowledge and some content that will serve you well. So I'm not going to give you 10 things. I'm going to give you the five most important things, all right? And then I want you to commit to yourself that you are going to immediately this coming weekend, right, or your next event, try them. Right, and it may not work out just perfectly, and I want you to give yourself permission to not be perfect the first time you try something, but you'll step back and you'll learn and you'll make little tweaks and you'll continue to adapt it so that it fits for you, and I promise you will see amazing rewards. You know, I've been drawn to people, men and women, who've created magnificent success. You know, men and women like you and me who one day had an idea and were really able to launch and serve and grow million-dollar businesses. And I've always been curious, how do they do that? I'm always looking for something, kind of those little nuances, those little shifts that are new and magical, right? And so, you know what I've learned this past year? That, you know, there's much truth to some very old adages, like, you know, life is full of lessons to learn, and lessons will continue to repeat themselves until learned, and learning never stops. So what I know is that when the student's ready, the teacher will appear, and it's never late, nor is it ever a minute early. I mean, it's kind of like I always say that, you know, in life you need to know that there's this universe energy. When I was in corporate America and I heard people talk about this, I used to think that this was voodoo stuff, and I was way too shallow in my thinking. I've learned and I've grown. I'm in a new season in my life, and I've learned to pay attention to things that I've often dismissed. And I believe that, you know, there is this thing in the universe that as you put good things out, it shows up for you. It looks for balance and equilibrium. And so, you know, it shows up right on time. You know, it's never early like we wish it would be sometimes. But you know what? It's also never a second late. All right? And so this, our time together, is so powerful. All right, I want you to know that I know there are hundreds of people on this line right now, and you know what I know about you is that you have your dream, and we all have our dreams, and they're all a little bit different, and as different as our fingerprint, as different as our name, as different as our business names, as different as the type of product or service that that we offer. But here's a really powerful, hopefully, perhaps, aha. In many ways, we're exactly the same. You know, we're uniquely different in the exact same way, perhaps is the better way to say that. And what I know, and I tell people all the time when I'm coaching them in my coaching practice, is, you know what, here's the thing. You aren't this little island out there. You know, you might have your own unique fingerprint, your own unique name, your own unique business URL, okay, but the truth of the matter is every single one of us, you and I on this phone, and everybody else that you know that's an entrepreneur out there, every single one of us are in the exact same business. There absolutely is no uniqueness in that. Every single person that you meet in business, you are in the exact same business as them. And it was an aha moment that totally changed my life. Because you know what business we're all in? We're all in the relationship business. All of life is about working with and through people. And this is a little provocative what I'm getting ready to say. But if you do not see that you're in the business of relationships, you'll probably have a very short-lived business. Everything is about relationships. And you know what I'm talking about right now? I'm not just talking about the obvious. you know, people think about networking as getting customers. How am I going to go and get more customers, get more people to buy my products, my services? Networking is so much bigger than that. And when you miss all the other elements of networking, it's like the networking wheel. It's a flat tire. I mean, how far can you go on a flat tire, right? I mean, it's only one spoke getting, you know, getting business, getting customers. Networking is also about making sure that you're aligning with the right people that are keeping you inspired and keeping you motivated. It's lonely being an entrepreneur. Let's just be real honest about it. And guess what? I'm an entrepreneur that happens to have a staff. You know, I have, you know, managing directors in the field. I have over 70 people on the payroll. And you know what? I feel lonely sometimes. And what I can tell you is that I know that in those lonely moments when I'm having a bad day, or I've heard 10 great things, but I got one nasty email, or somebody that's really unhappy about something, you know, and it just, you know, weighs so heavy on my heart, and it distracts me, and it shifts my thinking, and it prevents me from being fully focused on what's in front of me and what I have to deliver. I mean, nobody makes it alone. And your network is really important for those moments. It has nothing to do with going out and getting a new customer. It has to do with being able to, you know that if you look up, you can sit up. If you can sit up, you can stand up. If you can stand up, you can make the course correction and move on and march forward. Your network is important for you, and this is what the super successful really know, is that your network is important for you for not only customers and not only for getting your source of inspiration when your cup is running dry, but networking. Important networking secret is knowing that you have to have, you know, people that you can rely on that are going to help you really, you know, address your customer needs, because you'll never be able to anticipate all the ways in which you can serve your customer. And if you're only serving them in one small way and you're missing five or six other ways that you could expand your price progression plan, right? You have to have multiple ways in which you can engage and contract with your customers, right? You are missing ways to grow your revenue. And I'm going to tell you something, and the super successful really know this. It's so much easier to grow the customers you have, your satisfied customers, and begin to offer them relatable services and products that don't take you off course, that don't distract you, that are all like kind of, think of it as first cousins, right? And expand your offerings and your prices, than it is to be constantly going out and meeting new people and trying to sell the same thing over and over and over again. Do you ever stop doing that? No. So don't misunderstand me. You have to spend a certain amount of your time selling to a network, a brand new network, kind of your core business. But you can't dismiss the opportunity to continue to expand your core business in directly relatable ways. And the super successful people have figured that out. I mean, I started out and beat my head doing the same thing over and over, and only doing this over and over, and that was selling memberships in eWomen Network, right? Well, we still do that to this day, but I have seven other ways that I have expanded, right, my offerings to serve the customers that have come into the eWomen Network community, right? We have the eWomen Publishing Network. My book just went number one in 9 categories, me and, you know, 38 other phenomenal co-authors, 39 other phenomenal co-authors that now are able to say they're best-selling authors, right? Now we have the Success Institute, because I have more members that don't live in cities where we have chapters, but I want to be able to serve them with great speakers, right? I want to be able to then find who has great content. So now I go to the the membership and I say, who has great content that I can feature, market you to potential new people that need to hear your message that might convert into customers and also serve customers that are out there. I mean, I have a foundation because I believe in giving back. I'm giving you examples of what I've done. I'm sharing with you my business model because I'm not telling you anything on this call that I have not personally done and reaped massive success. I'm not a teller that hasn't foolproofed my own message. Okay, so I'm sharing you my business model, and I want you to take what I'm telling you and not adopt it. It's not like you're going to say, well, Sandra, that doesn't apply to me because I don't run a membership-based organization. It's not about adopting it. It's about changing that O in adopt to adapt to an A and beginning to take what I'm telling you and saying, this is interesting. How might I take this concept and apply it in my business and massage it a little bit, make it fit for you and run. Okay, but knowing, getting your customers, right, getting help with inspiration when you have your low moments, and we all have them, when we're depleted, when our cup is really empty, right, what network well do you go, you know, to get, you know, when you're feeling really dry, you know, your thirst quenched. Okay, where are you going to find out? And here's what you need to know. If you're on this call and you're saying, well, that makes sense, Sandra. Okay, expand, find relatable ways to serve my customers, but I can't think of how to do that. Well, here's the good news. If you understand networking, you don't have to know. You don't have to know. You don't have to have the answer. See, really great, super successful networking people, they know that it's not about the answer. It's about the question. It's about saying, I know I should be doing this. I'm too close to it. I don't see it for myself. Who is in my network that I trust? Who is in my network that, you know, is savvy, is more successful than me, that I could go to say, you know, I was listening to this woman. She had something that really connected with me, but I just don't know how to do it. She was talking to me about, you know, how I need to, like, maybe think about how I can find really relatable ways to serve my already really satisfied customers. How can I go back and expand, you know, what I'm doing in a way that grows people that are already in love with me? But I can't think of what that is. What you will be amazed at what people can see about you that you just can't see yourself, because we're all caught in the fog of trying to run our businesses. We all can't see what everybody else can see, and that's an important spoke in your networking wheel. All right, here's the other thing. You need to know, right, that if, and I'm talking to the ladies here for a minute, maybe some of the men on the line will resonate with this as well, but here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Here's another thing, and that is nobody makes it alone. This whole multitasking thing, forget it. You become good at many things, right, and a master of nothing. And so here are the things that you need to be masterful in. Are you ready? Number one, right? When you attend a networking event, you need to know that you need to fully show up. And to me, showing up is very different than arriving. It's very different than getting ready, getting dolled up, looking your very best, having, you know, all of your business cards and, you know, having plenty of them, having your brochures, all the other things, driving and getting checked in. That's arriving. Showing up to me is very different, and these are the things that I believe totally differentiate the people that really make the best use of their times from the ones that walk away and go, I didn't get much out of it. And let me define showing up. Showing up is the whole thing of wherever you are, be there, totally honor your power, honor your competence. It's incumbent for each of us to bring all of us. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I want us to remember that I believe most of us on this line right now got a smartphone for one reason, and that's to make our lives convenient. It isn't, I don't think, what it has become for most of us, and that is that we become the convenience of everybody else. And so part of showing up is knowing the difference between those two things. I am amazed at the number of people that I see with their cell phone in their hand, you know, constantly, you know, and even if they have it on vibrate, you know, constantly looking at any, you know, message that pops up, at, whether it be a text message or a Facebook message or a tweet, or just constantly looking, excusing themselves to actually take a call. You know, I mean, what you've done is you've arrived, but you haven't showed up. I've learned from the multi-million-dollar super successful that many of them don't even take their cell phone into events. And I do that more times than not. You know, if I'm staying at a hotel where I'm also having an event, I don't even take my cell phone to the event. I leave it in my room. I've been known to put it in my glove box, you know, and leaving it in my car because it's a distractor. And the people that make it understand the difference between opportunities and distractions. And when you show up, the best thing that you can do is be aware of the opportunity. And you cannot be fully present in the moment and take advantage of the plethora of smorgasbord that's before you of opportunities if you are being distracted by things that you can tend to later. Now, I know that there might be an instance in your life where something is happening, or maybe you've got a sitter and, you know, you have to be available to the sitter and that kind of thing. But you know what? Those are really the exceptions. Most of us get distracted by our cell phones when we really have control to say, I'm going to see if the world can survive without me. The universe will survive for a couple of hours. Okay, it's the most fundamental important thing. I'm to the point, to be honest with you, that when I see people with cell phones in their hands, you know what I do? I just don't spend a lot of time there. It's not worth it to me. When I see someone looking at their phone, it's a signal to me. They're here, but they're not really showing up. And if I promise you, if you think I'm crazy, I want you to start to notice people that you perceive, that you know, are really super successful, and they aren't walking around with their cell phone on top of the table or, you know, hooked on a belt buckle or in their hand. They show up, and they're fully present with where they are right now. Number two, there are two types of people, I believe, in the world, generally speaking here. There are those kind of people who walk into a room with kind of an energy, an aura, or an attitude about them that's kind of like, well, here I am, you know? And then there are those people who come into a room and have more of an energy, an aura, or an attitude about them that's much more like, ah, there you are. And the question is, which one are you? And most importantly, which one do you think will best serve you in building relationships? There's a saying out there that something to the effect, I know I'm going to botch it up, but it's something to the effect of you will get more people to care about you in 5 minutes than you will ever get people to care about you in 10 years if you first focus on caring about them versus trying to get them focused on caring about you and your business and what you offer and what you sell. So other focused, right, is a matter of having some core ways to engage in people. And I'm going to give them to you right now. There are three things. This is in my book. You don't have to buy the book, Relationship Networking. I'm giving it to you. This call is all about the gift of contact. Okay, so I'm going to give them to you. And you will learn over time. If this is new to you, you can use exactly the way I give this to you. And then over time, you can, you know, shift it and change it in a way that works for you. But some of you who have met me will probably experience this in me. So in order to be other-focused, there's three ways in which to demonstrate this. All right? It's very observable. The other person will experience it in these three ways. Are you ready? Number one, it is this. You need to know how to ask questions. And so my favorite ways of asking questions is this. Tell me who your ideal client is, right? I'm not asking for a target market, right? When you're in small business, target market, I mean, most of us don't have the time, the money, and the bandwidth to be marketing to a big target market. You can make millions zeroing in and focusing on your ideal client. So I always want to know. So I ask them, tell me about your business, okay? Give me an example. These are X words. Give me an example of your ideal client. Okay, that's a very powerful one. Explain to me exactly how you serve them. What are the exact products and services that you offer? So explain, exact, example. Do you see how other focused this is? It makes it all about them. And one thing I can tell you is that people fall in love with people who appear interested, generally are interested in them. And these are the best ways to do that. Now, every now and then, you're going to be like me. People, you're going to run into people, and they're not real clear, and you're not really sure what it is they actually do. And so I often just say, I'm so interested with you, but I'm not quite tracking. Can you expand on this for me? Can you give me an example of a client and how you transformed their business or their life? Do you see? Expand. Now, these are generous questions. They open up people to be very specific, give you information. And what are you doing with this? You are truly just taking them in and you're listening. And you're looking for ways to serve them. And every now and then, let's be realistic. The truth of the matter is, every now and then, you're not going to have a way to serve that person. But here's what you do. You say to them, you know, I'm going to keep you in mind. May I have a card? And then when they give you the card, you turn it over, you have a pen handy, right, and you begin, right, to write on the back who their ideal client is or, you know, how it is they best serve. And when they see you do that, imagine how this makes them feel. Right? And then what's going to happen is you're going to keep them in mind. You might bump into somebody else at the networking event that you can do some matchmaking. Or you might read an article. Or you might pick up a book. And here's the really cool thing. Now you've got their contact information. You're not going to forget who they are because you had a meaningful conversation. It totally differentiates those kind of, you know, database builders that have a stack of cards. And the truth of the matter is they go back to the cards and they couldn't put a face and a name, a conversation, because they're just trying to. That's why database builders have to have so many frickin' email addresses, in order to get 1% of them to bite, because they don't have real connections. I built a multi-multi-million-dollar, successful, profitable business by, guess what, slowing down and making actual connections. All right, and that's what I'm trying to teach you to do today, and this is the best way to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have found that majority, not in every cases, majority of people, once you have helped them, if they're savvy, they're going to say, enough about me, tell me about you. And you're going to have your opportunity and window of time. But you need to apply exactly what it is you're trying to extract from the other person. So it's important for you to be able to talk about who you are and what you do. And by what you do, it's not just giving them, the laundry list of the things that you do. And it's not even about the benefits. You know, there's all that old school selling techniques around, you know, what are the benefits? You know, don't sell features, sell benefits. See, I think that's crap too. I think the best way and the thing that's worked most well for me and what I see of other really amazing, successful people is that they learn the art of telling a very simple story. What is the goal of that? You just don't go on and on and on about a story. You get to the transformation. That's where people go, oh, okay, this is the transformation that I've created. This is my type of client. I did this with them, and as a result, this was the transformation. This is what happened as a result of working with me. Do you see what I'm saying? When you tell people connect with stories, they don't connect with a bunch of features and facts and benefits, right? Everybody's, and that's old school. That's all the old way of marketing and selling. You are unique. Nobody can debate your experiences. That's what makes you captivating. You can't hear that. Nobody else is going to have your exact same story, right? That's what, and people remember that. They remember stories, okay? And then when you tell your transformation, you often ask, you know, is this something that, you know someone that might be struggling in this area? You don't have to ask them if you can serve them. It's about who they know. Because sometimes people are a little bit more cautious. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the whole thing, if you remember, I remember when I was in corporate America, you know, the recruiters, they would call me for a job that they really were calling me about. But what they often did was say, I have a position open. It's such and such a position. I know you're in the industry. Might you know somebody that's looking for a change? Now, what's their real motive? The truth is, they'd love to be able to see if I'm interested. But if not, it's a no-lose situation because I might know someone else. Are you tracking with me? So those are some simple techniques on how to actually apply the concept of being other focused. All right? So I just want you to know it's about knowing that it's going to be all about them, and that's hard to do when we're hungry. Okay? But what? Let me tell you what the end result often is that you're not only memorable, but you're likable. And whether we like this or not, here is the truth, and this is how it impacts your bottom line. All things being equal, and you and I, every single one of us on this line, we have competitors. All right? Those competitors are this. You know, though your way of differentiating yourself is knowing that all things being equal, people do business with people they like. So you have to be likable. All things being unequal, people still do business with people they like. And what better way to show your likability than being focused, right? Being other focused on them. Number three, smile. I believe your smile is the most powerful resource that you have, no matter what you've heard about your computer, no matter what you've read. I can tell you, you can dominate with your smarts, right? When you combine it with supportive energy. I believe that negativity and positivity are equally contagious. And it's up to us to choose. I mean, I can change someone's day, their moment, with a smile. I've been at the checkout line when, you know, what the cashiers are, you can just tell they're not happy. It's a grind. They're looking at their watch, you know. And when you smile, when you offer to help bag, you know, and you engage, it changes their day. And you know what? It uplifts me because I can't help but be impacted by the impact that I've had on someone else, right? A smile is contagious. It's the only universal language on the planet. I mean, let's just be really honest. You don't, if English isn't your first language, I mean, if you've traveled abroad like I have, there's nothing like a smile and a nod. Everybody knows what that means. Right? It's more powerful. And if you're smiling, you know, it's hard. In fact, there's been research done that has said that you literally cannot generate tears, sad tears, not happy, laughing tears, but you literally cannot generate tears with a smile on your face. And I've brought people, I've spoken in front of thousands of people and actually brought someone on a stage with a $100 bill and said, I want you to come up here if you think that you can cry. And they don't know, they line up, I bring them up, and guess what? I say, okay, you know, I'm gonna give you $100, and I want you to just stand there and make yourself cry. I only have one requirement, and that is you must have a smile on your face. It's like impossible. It's impossible. And again, this is different. These are not like the laughing, you know, where your eyes start watering. So a smile is contagious. My philosophy is be a carrier. I think we ought to start an epidemic. And I find that people are attracted to people who smile. I know I am. And when I want to connect with someone, I'm always making a smile. I'm always acknowledging them. I'm smiling with my eyes. You know, it's smize. I think Tara Banks coined that. You know, smiling with your eyes in pictures. I mean, that's, people get a snapshot of you when they see you at an event. All right, so what's your energy level? All right, it's just an attitude. I mean, you got to just change your attitude. That, like that old adage said, you can, you know, complain and moan and groan that, you know, rose bushes have thorns, or you can smile and rejoice that thorn bushes have roses, right? It's just, it's about that. You know, I think you need to watch your words and be nice to people. I've always said, you know, the truth of the matter is those toes that you step on today could very well be attached to the tush you got to kiss tomorrow. You know, so it's important to do your very best to, you know, when you're interacting with people and something isn't going well. I've seen this in airports. You know, people get mad because flights are delayed or whatever. There's so much positional power in those reservationists, all on your attitude. You know, it's like amazing to me the things I've been able to have, that I've been able to have done for me by saying, this was my mistake and I am so sorry. And I know you're going to do the very best that you can do for me under the circumstances. And I'm just going to be grateful for whatever you might be able to pull through. You know, thank you so much for taking the time, for hearing me out. I'm sorry to trouble you with my, you know, that I'm late and that I've missed the cutoff for my baggage. And you'd be amazed at what people have done for me. It's all about your smile, how you treat them. You know, Maya Angelou says it best. She says, don't whine. Whining lets a brute know that a victim is in the neighborhood, right? There's one, you know, there's the victim and then there's the victor, right? Two-letter difference between that words. Words are powerful. Words stop wars. Let's just be real honest. Number four, you've got to take inventory of your relationships. I say this all the time. You know, you become the sum average of the five people you hang around with most. So you've got to ask yourself, I mean, think of the people you're hanging out with. Are they adding to your life? Are they subtracting to your life? Are they dividing and they're divisive? Are they multiplying? I mean, I've said this over and over and over again for people. It's one of my big, huge tips of being incredibly successful. You know, you've got to put, you know, two lines down a center piece of paper, two vertical lines, and now you've got three columns. You know, who are the people that you know that you can call at 3 o'clock in the morning? You know, that will be there totally for you. And if no one's on that list, don't fret about it. This, now you've got awareness of you need to have somebody. All of us need to have that person. Sometimes it's our family. Sometimes it's not our family. Doesn't matter where it comes from. You just need to have that. And if you don't have that, it's an indicator that you probably haven't made enough deposits into important relationships so that when you are in the time of need and you have to make a withdrawal, you've got somebody that you can really rely on. Okay, you need to think about the people that you don't know. I mean, who are the people that you keep hearing about that you would like to get access to and you know that you need to do it? I mean, you got to make that commitment. I mean, you've got to put yourself in the place and really show up, be other focused, apply everything that I've told you, wear your smile, and be there. You know, you've got to constantly be meeting new people, right? And the third thing is you've got to take inventory of the people that simply aren't serving you well. These are what I call the Debbie Downers and the, you know, the energy vampires. They just suck the energy right out of you. Now, here's another way to look at it. Think about, let's say you're saying to myself, well, I hang around with the same five people, and I have a ball with them. They're a ton of fun, Sandra. It's not like anybody's a Debbie Downer. It's not like they're sucking the energy out of me. But the truth of the matter is, what I know is I'm the one always organizing where we're going. Or I'm the one that I've noticed is always kind of starting the really meaningful conversation. Or I'm the one, whenever someone has a problem or an issue, I'm always showing up and kind of, you know, giving them advice or helping them out. Okay, and if that's you, what I can tell you is you need a new group. You need a new group. Now, I'm not saying abandon all of these people. You know, you just expand the circle. It's kind of like for those of you that are on the phone that might have had children, or you don't even have to have given birth, but let's say you've got multiple nieces and nephews. You know, when I had my first baby, a daughter, and I remember getting pregnant, you know, 4 years later with who is now my 17-year-old son, and I remember struggling and feeling really guilty going, oh my God, how am I ever going to love this new baby as much as I love my daughter? I mean, I'm feeling guilty already, and this child hasn't even arrived. There's no way I can love a child any more than I love my daughter. And you know what happened? My son came out, popped out, they put him in my arms, and you know what happened? My heart just got bigger. It expanded. You know, and the same is true with your network. You don't have to have a falling out, and you don't have to, like, cut people off, right? You just expand the circle, and you divide your time up a little bit better, right? You move away enough so that you can get to know other people, right? And even if you're on this call and you're saying, okay, Sandra, so I do have some of those energy vampires and these Debbie Downers in my life, you don't have to have a falling out with them either. You don't have to end on bad terms. What you do is you do what you do best, and that is you start creating other relationships, and then you start being totally honest. I've got some other plans, right? I've got some other things that I'm doing today. You make yourself not quite as available. That's the power of taking inventory of your relationships and really owning it, okay? Move away from the ones that are not paying dividends for you so that you can give yourself space and the place to be able to acquire more. If you're one of these people and you're saying, oh gosh, Sandra, I mean, you're telling me go out and make new friends and make new connections and find new business people and all this, and I mean, I can't get done what I got on my plate. Well, you know what you need to do? You need to look at your plate and say which things aren't serving me well. This is no different than you and I have to make when we're really trying to eat healthy. It isn't that the mashed potatoes and gravy or the, you know, biscuits and sausage gravy, I live in Texas, isn't there. It's that you make choices. And you say, I'm either not going to have any of that today, or maybe I'm just going to take a bite, right? And I'm going to save the room for other things that are going to serve me well, okay? The fifth and final step is this. And this is a big one. And this is kind of like, you know, there's that whole notion of, you know, I've had people say to me, you know, I get in rooms with really super successful people and I don't feel worthy. And I'm like, what? I mean, this is where success is an inner game. I mean, you can have all the skills, you can have read all the books, right, all the education, you got a fancy website with all the bells and whistles, the four-color business card, all of that. None of that matters if the inner game isn't working well. And so my fifth thing of the super successful is that you've got to know, you've got to harness your own staying power. Got to harness your own staying power. Success seems largely a matter of hanging on after others have decided not to play, right? And you have to strive and honor your very own greatness. I mean, you may not have the perfect solution for someone right now, but that's no reason not to be fully engaged, okay? Because it's not about right now. It's about a week from now, a year from now, 2 years from now. I mean, somebody tells you something that they want, something that they're looking for, somebody. I mean, your job now is to say, who do I know that might know this person that I can connect them with? Or if that person is really important to you, I've done this. I've come back. I've gotten in front of my computer. And you know what I've done? I've done a Google search. You know, I'm searching for their connection. And I'll find an article. I'll find something. And I will link it. And I will send it to them. And I'll send it with it. You know, I've been really thinking about our conversation. It was really rich. I loved getting to know you. And, you know, one of the things that I walked away with was you saying that you were looking for whatever. And while I didn't have anything at the time, you know, I came back and I found this link. And I think it might give you some of the information that you're looking for. Or I think, or that person, I did a search. And did you know that she or he is being honored at such and such an upcoming awards? Maybe you want to go there. You see, it's still about being other focused, but I've got to harness my power that, I mean, I've been in rooms with people like, you know, Ken Cragen, legend in Hollywood, right? I mean, you know, organizer of the We Are the World campaign with Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson, and led the largest humanitarian effort ever in the United States, Hands Across America, and managed Kenny Rogers for 25 years when he was doing his movies, and the Bee Gees in their heyday, and Lionel Richie when he left the Commodores. And you know what? That kind of pedigree can be really intimidating. You know, and what I did was I was at a table and I was listening to him and I got his card and I was thinking about him. Ended up summarizing, true story, the evening, because I was in L.A. at the time, talking to my husband, and my husband, who happens to be in the music business, never thought in a million years, right in front of my eyes, I could ask my husband about him. My husband knew exactly what he was. I was telling him about some of the things that Ken was trying to do. My husband, Kim, gave me some great ideas. When I saw him the next day, I went up to him. There I was, had nothing to contribute when I first met him, but the next day I went up to him and I just said, you know, I've been thinking about, you know, the conversation that was at the table. I was listening, wasn't really resonating with a good connection for you, but, you know, I was talking to my husband, and he's in the music industry, you know, has a gold album from 1978, and he told me something that I thought could be a really great lead for you. I mean, Ken looked at me like I was his long-lost best friend. The next thing you know, we're having coffee, blah, 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 and guess what? Last year, he ends up volunteering to come and speak at the conference. I mean, I could have never have gone through a PR person, a manager, tried to send him an email, or done anything. It was the power of showing up, really listening, being other-focused, you know, knowing that I needed to really think through how I might be able to help him, you know, taking inventory of my relationships, running it by my husband, getting a good piece of, you know, information, harnessing my power and having the guts to go back up to him later on a different day and serving him with exactly what he said he needed. It's an example of putting all of these five things I've just shared with you and taught you today, right, into totally transforming the most amazing relationship. So let me summarize, right? Here they are. Are you ready? The networking secrets of the super successful do this. Number one, they are really there. When they arrive, they do more than that. They show up fully present. They are hungry. They want business, but they, number two, they know that the best way to get the greatest relationships is to be other-focused. And a way to do that is to ask great questions, and I gave you some tips on that. Give me an example of your ideal customer. Explain to me how you transform their lives, right? How you serve them the best, right? Expand for me. Give me some exact information of what you do, right? Number three, always know that the most important universal language, the energy that attracts positivity to you, is your smile. Never take that for granted. Positive people don't want to be around other people that they perceive, whether they're right or wrong, it becomes irrelevant. This is their perception of being bitter, angry, in a bad mood, and not fully engaged. Your smile, your attentive, draws them to you. Your magnificence captivates them to want to learn more about you. Number four, take inventory of the people you're hanging with. Let go of the people not serving you well. Give yourself, let the universe know you now have space to really embrace new people in your life. And finally, know that you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be the smartest one in the group, right? You have to be a great listener. You have to own your power. You have to know that you deserve to be in that space and place. You have to be actively participating by listening. You don't have to be the know-it-all. You don't have to be the life of the party, right? It's sometimes in the follow-up, because the follow-up, your future and your fortune is in your follow-up. When you do these five things well, right, and you master them, and you don't deviate, you focus on the fundamentals here, and you get better and better and better, you will have acquired the networking secrets of the super successful. I think I have nailed this right on time. I have 3 minutes left if you take out the time that I had technical difficulty. So if there are any final questions, observations, reactions, anything that you want to share with me, now is the time to do that. I'll take a couple of questions if you have them, or a couple of comments if it will serve you. Okay. Just great things coming in. Perfect, Sandra. Okay, perfect. Thank you, Sherry. Great training. This will be great help. Someone says, what's the fifth one? The fifth one is harness your power. Harness your power, your staying power, right? It's the mind game, all right? people coming to the conference. Okay, great, Anne, thank you. She's saying fabulous. And you'll be able to, absolutely, I promise you, use this at the conference. And I'll tell you one last thing since you brought it up at the conference. I want you to trust, if you're standing kind of in a circle with a few other people and you see someone kind of approaching you, here's a tip, take a step back, a half step back and widen the circle. I always trust that person is approaching my life for a reason. It's up to me, right, to embrace it, okay? That person may not be able to help me, but they may be that person that I can help so much that the universe will see it as such a big deposit that it will gift me back tenfold in other ways. All right, Patsy, I'm so glad you're going to join Chicago. It's great, great to have you. Okay. We are literally at an hour, and so I want to be respectful of your time. Thank you for hanging in there for 3 minutes while I was struggling with my technical difficulty. Apologize for that. It's been a blessing to have you, and I just want to say thank you so much for purchasing Succeeding in Spite of Everything. It's because of you that it became a bestseller, not in 7, but in 9 categories. So past my wildest dreams, top 50 overall, Amazon. I mean, this is the power of entrepreneurs supporting entrepreneurs, women supporting women, and great men supporting us too. So thanks, everyone. I'm going to let you go. Bye for now.